There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ball's got to go right. Look out, they may score on this play. Mannering, Johnson decides to come back in field. Johnson gets dancing. Johnson,
no way! No way!
Johnson has run over to score. This is incredible. This is ridiculous. This is 15 out of 10 on the incredible meter.
What about the last 5 minutes? Thank you to the football gods for letting us watch this.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook weekly wrap for round four of the NRL. Another cracking round of NRL. And to put it bluntly, my Supercoach team is in disarray. I'm looking like posting somewhere between an 8:35. Hopefully with updates I can get up to 8:50, but that is atrocious. Scoring, and basically all my trades backfired. So, yeah, I'm not sure of my legitimacy with my Supercoach license at the moment, but I'm going to push through because it's only round four, like we said, and hopefully I can steer the ship back onto safer waters because, yeah, it's been a really tough start to the season for me. I actually, my trades were too picky to Dom Young. I'm pretty happy with Dom Young long term, but yeah, and I knew that it would be a tough game against the Panthers, but yeah, 30 was a little bit underwhelming. Harry Grant to Appy, I'm okay with Appy, that's fine. I'm going to go back to Harry Grant. That was always the plan to get Joey Lussick out. But Nicho Hynes to Luke Brooks, what was I thinking? Not so much trading out Nicho Hynes, but probably going to Luke Brooks given. Yeah, okay, he had St. George, so that was a good matchup, but I didn't do my homework. He's playing Penrith and the Warriors in the next 2 weeks. They're probably two of the best defensive sides. So, yeah, look, haven't really covered myself in glory with those trades, but at least I made my mistakes early and can get on with the rest of the season. So, okay, let's have a look at the week that was for Supercoach. Panthers took on the Roosters on a Thursday night. What an impressive display by the Panthers, winning 22-16. They sort of had the game, and Roosters just come back and gave themselves a puncher's chance there at the end. But they really did miss the jump, the Roosters. They got out-physicaled, and what it showed again is that weakness that I spoke about a couple of weeks ago when they lost their first game, the Roosters, is when they're dominated in the ruck and field position, they really struggle with that long kicking game. I thought Sam Walker's long kicking game was better, but Penrith just strangled him out of it for the majority of the game. Oh, one of the things, I've got to toss this up. I mean, this is way out of left field, but Michael Maguire, if he's looking for just a bona fide origin player, I'm really coming around to Mitch Kenny. And I know that'll raise a lot of eyebrows, but he is tough. He is so tough. And his first contact, his line speed's unbelievable, and his first contact is probably the best I've seen of any hooker. He generally tackles up pretty high, and he whacks. So, yeah, like he doesn't offer you a lot in attack, but if you're going to go with the two-hooker option, you know, I think you could start with him for the opening exchanges for Origin and then bring on someone like Appy Korosau, who's pretty creative. And Mitch Kenny could be that backup hooker slash could play lock if you needed to, you know, or if you're ahead in an origin just to close down the game. He's just rock solid defensively. Okay, let's have a look at a few of the Supercoach scores. Dylan Edwards, he just steps up whenever Cleary's out. 120 could be a – there's a few pod options that have reared their head this weekend, particularly in the fullback position. Gutho's probably another one after today. Like, just having a look at the way that Parra played without Moses, they're going to do that for another 6 or 7 weeks, and it was all around Gutho, so, which wasn't great for Dylan Brown owners, although – he poked his head through a couple of times. He's a bit of an almost player, a little bit like Turbo Dylan Brown. Like, you come away from games and go, oh, he could have, should have, would have got this score if he did this. But that happens quite a bit with him. So, yeah, what to do there, I'm not sure. Brad Snyder, 59. Now, this is something they talk about a bit more in NFL fantasy, but could he be a genuine handcuff option? Now, what they talk about with handcuff is you pick a player in that position and then you pick the player who's directly behind them in that position. It's generally referred to like maybe as a running back or, you know, in a quarterback situation where the quarterback goes down, that quarterback's coming in and playing. But it's probably no different here with Brad Snyder. I mean, and if anything, you might get the benefit that if Luai plays, well, Cleary's probably going to play Origin anyway, but like if Luai was to play Origin again, or if Luai went out injured, then Snyder's probably the option there at 5'8 as well. So he could be a genuine handcuff option if you wanted to run with a gun halfback in Nathan Cleary and you weren't sure about your second half. Like, Nico's, he looked better on the weekend, but yeah, he definitely hasn't been up to value so far this year. So Isaiah Yeo, first four games, scores of 67, 94, 69, and 72. That is 2 RF premium range. So he's someone to look at. I mean, obviously, if you're going to go to him, he, you know, it's not for cash generation. It's basically just to say, look, I've got to him. He's going to be in my final 17. But I think he's at that stage of his career where he's playing enough minutes. He's creating enough where he's going to score. He's going to average somewhere around that 70, 75 range, which is really good. Liam Henry was solid again for owners, 50, which is great, coming off the bench. It's a very strange year for front rows. There's a lot of front row forwards that are coming off the bench that are really suitable options, where in the past you probably wouldn't have wanted to play them. Talon May, he's not playing bad. He only got 27 for Supercoach, but the Panthers definitely are favouring the right, and there's a fair reason for that. I think there's a question later from Timmy, and I'll go into that in further detail about Talon May. But yeah, 27 was pretty disappointing for owners. I think most people would have played him. There's a few people I've seen on chats and that who are thinking about trading him out, and fair play. Terrell May, his brother, for the Roosters, 77. He's just a must-have in the front row forward. Oh, he just gets better and better every week that I see him. Rock solid, doesn't miss many tackles. Does have more points in him because he's got offloads, he's got tackle breaks. Often looks like he plays within himself as well. So against some of the weaker sides, he could really explode. James Tedesco, 47. You'd probably take that as a fullback against the Panthers. He was on 67, but they took that try assist off him rightfully. I don't think he deserved it. That was a great tap on there by Suolihi, maybe, I think it was. Yeah, but you take 47 around that 50 range from a fullback against the Panthers. Dom Young, 30. Yeah, it hurts for people who got him in, but I think the best is yet to come for Dom. One of the things that does worry me a little bit about Dom Young is Joey Manu. He does tend to hog the ball a fair bit. So, I mean, I think he's going to get some tries off when Joey Manu sort of goes and then he flicks it out the back, but you'd probably like to see him getting a few cutout passes or just being given the ball a little bit earlier by Joey, because, you know, often when Joey gets it, he'll just back his strength to go straight for the sideline, where another center in that position would, you know, like Joey will just go straight for the corner and back himself to put it down with his strength and size and speed. But like most other centers would probably give it to their winger and let them finish. So that's one downfall for Dom Young, but I'm not abandoning ship just yet, because I think he's going to be a good long-term option. And I think he'll be up there with the top try scorers, which will mean he'll score a lot of points. Okay, over to Timmy Williams, the SC Playbook guru, for question one.
G'day, Wals. Hope Easter was a cracker, mate, and to all the listeners out there. First question from me. You mentioned in a tweet just before the weekend started that cash is king this year. Basically, I wanted to know what's changed this year to other years that's made you think that. Something that I've always gone hard on early, the cash gen. Why this year?
Yeah, look, I don't know, Timmy. At the moment, I'm like a team down on confidence. I'm a bit like the Rabbitohs. I feel a bit, I don't know if I'd say unqualified, because, you know, I've had some success in the past to talk about it, but certainly recency bias. I mean, I'm not in good form. I haven't started the year well, so it's been a dismal start to the season for me, but I will make a comment. I just feel like, you know, in terms of your strategy, there is a lot of money to be made, and that would allow you to get those guns in ASAP later in the year. Like, you have to try to, well, I know from my point of view, because I didn't start the year up high in the rankings, which I've done in previous years, and then there's that pressure I feel to maintain it, and that's what I've tried to do in previous years. But this year I've really started really slowly, and then after I started slowly, there was sort of an intentional building of the team, and, you know, I'm prepared to take some pain. But yeah, that was probably before this weekend. I mean I've seen some scores out there. I think, Timmy, you got around about 11:30. I'm giving up 300 points to you this week, so that's just way too much. So I need to right the ship a little bit. I've got plenty of money in the bank and get a few guns in. I've still got done pretty well with the cheapies. I've missed Bostock, which is a bit of a big miss there. But apart from that, I think I've got most of the money makers, so I'm going to stick with that and hopefully pick up over the next couple of weeks. Okay, on to the Friday night games. The Rabbitohs defeated the Bulldogs. Oh, sorry, that was Good Friday during the day. 20 points to 16, hardly convincing. Like I said, they're going through a bit of a form slump, the Rabbits. You know, you have a look at the game and they pretty well dominated against a side that, I mean, fair play to the Bulldogs. They're ripping in this year, but, you know, they're probably a bottom four side in my view. And the Rabbits completed 94% completions, and still they only beat the Bulldogs by four. It's sort of a shell of the side that has been in the past. So, yeah, like I said, neither of these sides look really likely to trouble the top eight. South could find some form and go on a run. They've got some class in their side, but injuries are starting to hit the team and they don't look like they've got as much depth as they have in the past. And there's a few troubling things in the middle there. They got stood up badly, like with leg speed around the ruck, and there's some of the better sides will really make them pay for it. I thought Morin, he came on, he's a lightweight forward, and he gave him a lot of trouble around the ruck. And Marnie, who's not the most explosive hooker, gave him some issues as well. So even though Tommy Burgess crashed over for a try, like, he had some issues laterally around the ruck. And that's and then you got the same thing when you bring on Shaq Mitchell. So, a bit to ponder there for Rabbitohs fans. The Bulldogs are trying hard, and they're a lot more competitive than last year. But as I've highlighted in previous wraps and the preseason, they're really short on middle forwards, and that's going to test them the longer the year goes on. So they're a better chance of probably playing their best footy and winning games early in the season, and then I think they'll really struggle unless they can get some mid-season acquisitions. Okay, let's have a look at the Supercoach scores. Jack Whiten, 103. Not really overly relevant. I don't think many people have him, but that's promising. He was probably a shining light there for the Rabbitohs. Cook, 93. He needs to run more on a weekly basis. It's like there's been a bit of criticism. He's been dropped, and then he runs. But then also when he runs, I've watched Cookie for a lot of times. He tends to sort of get an ailment around his lower leg. You know, he ran a lot previous to Wayne Bennett going there, I think it was. And, like, he was quite a prolific runner of the footy. I'd like to see the stats on it, but then Wayne Bennett just sort of turned him more into that game manager role of a Cam Smith, and I think it's been to the detriment of his game, to be honest. It's definitely been to the detriment of his Supercoach game, but 93 is a good knock there. 78 for Cam Murray. He's solid. Like, looking at his scores, 58, 63, 58, and 78 in four games. He's a premium 2RF, but I wouldn't be rushing to get him in because there's not a lot of attack and upside with the Rabbitohs at the moment. Latrell Mitchell, 69. He did enough. Max King seemed to play a lot of minutes, 68. Burton, 67. Josh Curran, 54. He's a keeper for the meantime, at least. He's going to continue to earn a bit of money. But, you know, just knowing that you've got a 2RF, especially if he can get that front row forward dual status, he'll probably be a keeper for the season, I'd say. So one to watch there. Hutchinson, 49. Oh, he made a lot of half breaks, but his lack of pace just couldn't get him through it. And, you know, if you're not going to get through against a side like the Rabbitohs, who do have those liabilities in defence around the ruck and that, yeah, I just wonder how potent the Bulldogs are going to be, because they had a fair few opportunities on that right-hand side. But, yeah, like at the moment, it looks like it's kick out or bust a little bit for them. And Armani's like scheming and he's trying to do a lot of things at a dummy half, but yeah, like I think he's a little bit sideways as well. Jacob Carras, 36, he's going to be up and down, I feel, because he just doesn't have that consistency to put together, like consistency of his team scoring enough points. When he does something, it's pretty much him doing it all himself. Sam Hughes, 13. He's probably a trade-out, but I've got bigger problems at the moment. It looks like Morin might have gone past him in the rotations, or that might have just been a one-game thing, given how poor the Rabbitohs were laterally with that leg speed around the ruck. But, yeah, like Sam Hughes has sort of not really worked out for owners, but most people have him, so there's not a great deal of relevance there. Okay, on to the Broncos. Big win, 38 points to 12 over the Cowboys. The Cowboys come crashing back to earth. Not surprising for me. I felt like the Cowboys, it was a bit of a false economy for them. They had some easy games in the first three games. Yes, they've got a lot of flashy attack in them, and you can get carried away with that, but they have some issues. They've got some serious defensive deficiencies around the ruck, you know, particularly giving up tries. That try to Billy Walters is as soft as you'll see. They gave up a try, I think it was the week before, to a middle forward. They often give up tries in the middle, which I'm not sure how to explain that, but I think there's like defensive system errors. Yes, that sometimes it's them finding Drinkwater, and Drinkwater isn't a really, really good defender, but there's other issues there as well. So I think another thing that it highlighted with the Cowboys winning three games and then the Broncos just rinsing them there was it's hard to stay up for long in the NRL. The best teams are the ones that have consistency of effort and performance, and you know, like it's Panthers and then it's daylight, in my opinion, and then after daylight you're probably looking at the Storm, the Broncos and the Warriors this year. I feel like all of those teams have had pretty consistent performance. I mean, the Broncos, you could argue the game against Penrith, they weren't that great, but it was the way they finished the game that gave would give their supporters a lot of hope. And the fact that Reece Walsh got sort of basically knocked out of the game after a couple of minutes, and they're against the best team and they exploited those weaknesses. I actually thought the Broncos were a little bit better than the scoreboard suggested in that game against the Panthers. Okay, having a look at a few of the scores, not a lot of relevant players at the moment for the Broncos. That's what I noticed when I went through it. I really only had Xavier Willison, 34. He looked good in limited minutes, but he's just a watch at the moment. There's enough blokes there at front row forward to have a crack at. For the Cows, there's a few in that one. Scotty Drinkwater, 77. He had an off night, but that was tough against Reynolds, and then you got Jordan Rickey like steaming down on you. He just sort of basically lost it there, but he gets the Titans next week at home. Depending on what time that game's played, geez, if that's a day game and the way the Titans are looking, Oh, that could be anything. So, I mean, he's definitely a possibility to trade in, but you have to look past 1 week and what he's got for the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks as well. But, yeah, Drinky does what Drinky does, you know. Val Holmes, 59, he's a gun. That's a down game for Val Holmes. That's basically basement for him. He runs maybe harder than anyone in the game, him and Justin Ollam, I think it would be, certainly in the terms of centers. Jeez, they just come right off the back fence every time that they run. Reece Robson, 51. He's had a solid start to the season for owners there, and he's a definite hold, I think. Tommy Dearden, 51. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty standard for Tommy. But what a tackle. What a player he's becoming, Tommy Dearden. I mean, yeah, he gives them so much in attack, but he's such a elite defender as well. He really is sort of shaping as the next superstar of the game, in my opinion. That tackle was something else. To run down someone like Selwyn Cobbo, and he gave him maybe 10 metres gap start. That was crazy. Ruben Cotter, 50, sound. And Kulakefi Finifuiaki, who I heard a rumor this week that he was actually down touring the Dolphins there. So they're sort of looking for that edge forward to pounce on the Dolphins. It made some astute buys. Bought Junior Tupu is going there next year, the winger for the Tigers, and he was outstanding today. But back on track, Finifuiaki, 31, very quiet. And I think that's a concern. A lot of people have looked at his Queensland Cup stats and gone, well, yeah, he looks like an explosive player, but what's his week-to-week output? Obviously, he scored that try last week, which was really good. But, yeah, I mean, if you got him, I think that's fine. But, yeah, I don't know if he's going to be the cash cow that people think he will be. Okay, on to the second question of today from Timmy Williams.
Second question, mate. Taylan May came out firing first round or two, busting tackles, looking great. Really gone downhill, not necessarily NRL-wise, but certainly Supercoach-wise, the last 2 or 3 weeks. What do you put this down to in terms of straight footy, and how long do you see yourself holding on to Taylan May if he's churning out scores like this?
Yeah, look, Timmy, I touched on this before. I think Taylan May's Supercoach struggles come down to two things, like a combination of two things, a bit of Panthers' preference to go right. They like to hit that left-hand side and then just really open up the right-hand side there. And a bit circumstantial, like in a couple of games. Like what I mean is the Panthers basically were, I wouldn't say forced into, but they smartly adapted their game on the run, and that's what good teams do. When there was injuries, two injuries were suffered there, and it was Bailey Simonson when they played Parramatta and then Reece Walsh, and that stripped both those teams short of numbers on their left side defense. Well, not short of numbers, but short of quality. They had to put basically a back rower out there. I think it was Pierre Kura played out there for the Broncos, I think it was. Yeah, Pierre Kura. And I'm not sure who it was for the Eels, but Tago had a field day and he benefited from it, and to a certain extent Taylan May suffered from it. So they've done the right thing there, Panthers. I mean, like, they don't care about Supercoach scorers. They've basically just exploited the opposition deficiencies as they've materialized in a game. But you can't anticipate that as a Supercoach, and you know you don't want to jump at shadows a little bit, like, which is probably what I've been guilty of doing a little bit early in the season, just being a little bit overzealous and sort of, you know, using trades, you know, like confetti, really. Like, I probably should have valued a trade a little bit more if I'm gonna sort of be reflective and look back on my mistakes in the first few weeks. But I think Taylan May's a hold. For that reason, I mean, if you have the money and you have the inclination and you have someone there to upgrade him to that you want, that you think's a season-long keeper, and I'm thinking, I'm thinking Dom Young, I'm thinking Zach Lomax, Val Holmes, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, and there's probably a couple of others there, but you know, if you're going to go up to a player of that stature and it's going to be set and forget your team, then, yeah, definitely do it. But at this stage, I'm happy to just sort of sit with Taylor May and fix up a couple of other problems in my team and see what happens from there. Okay, on to Dragons beating the Seagulls 20 points to 12. This was one of the lowest NRL games I've seen this year. Actually, not one of. It was the lowest NRL game I've seen this year. It's just mistake after mistake. Manly were horrendous, and the Saints were only marginally better. But we'll say this about the Saints, is they had a bit of grit, they had a bit of determination in defence. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of back of the day, the old Flanagan teams, Shane Flanagan, Cronulla teams, where you go to Shark Park and they just, Gallen was playing for them and they just drag you down into an absolute shit fight, you know, out there. And they didn't care how they won. They won a lot of games ugly, but you know, the Sharks aren't the same team as that now. But, yeah, maybe St. George's, you know, they're going to take on a little bit of that persona. I mean, they're a bit Jekyll and Hyde at the moment. They're giving up too many points to be that team. But when they played like that, it just really reminded me of that. They just scrapped for everything. And it was terrible footy to watch. But Turbo, he was – like, he started on fire. Then he had a shocker, and DCE and a few others followed suit with him. Like, and I'm talking, like, high-profile players. And when that happens, sort of – They show the coach's box, and he can't be overly really critical of them. So he's scratching his head a little bit, and everyone around him's going, "Well, where'd this come from?" Because they normally don't play like that. So they just both had stinkers, I thought, Turbo and DCE. Even though it didn't necessarily show in DCE score. Okay, let's have a look at the scores. Terrell Sloan, 75. He's 6 tries now. I don't know how many of yous are punters, but Joel Kane does that sports bet show, and he was harping on from the start of the year about backing Terrell Sloan at 300-1 and for top tries for the season, and he's sitting on top at 6 now. So, like, regardless of whether it comes through or not, I reckon that's an outstanding call. I think he got Asako last year as well, about 150-1 for a top try scorer or a top point scorer. So he can certainly spot him. Zach Lomax, 51. If that's his base, I think you'd take it. You know, like he's got a lot more in him. But yeah, it's interesting. There's still a lot of talk about him going to Parramatta. I don't think it'll happen this year. I think they'll hang on to him, the Dragons. But maybe next year he will. But it's certainly not affecting his footy. Hamali Olakau'atu, nice late try there for owners. 94. He's set for a big year. I mean, you're going to have to be really on your game if you're a left half and he's running at you that week. I mean, I don't think he'll get less than 50 or 60 a game, you know, injury, like apart from injuries. But, yeah, he's a premium 2RF I want to get into my side. He probably plays Origin though, so be wary. Daly Cherry Evans, 83. Yeah. Played very ordinary on the field, but take it. Garrick, 71. He's pumped out some pretty good scores early, Garrick. He's kept his price. I think he might even rose in price a little bit. I think people are still pretty hesitant on getting him just because of the fact that he's a centre and he's not playing wing. And it looks like Manly's sticking with that. So, yeah. Tommy Turbo, 55. I spoke about that. Dreadful after setting up the first try. Couldn't catch a cold. Burbo, 36. I think he's a sell now. He's getting subbed off in games. I don't know if he was injured, but someone came on for him. I think it might have been Corey Waddell. And, yeah, he's probably been showing up a little bit defensively, Ben Trbojevic, and that was always probably his issue with him NRL-wise. He's not a bad attacker. But to be honest, it was a bad game for everyone, so you can't throw a lot of shade at him. But, yeah, I think he's a trade-out. But not overly urgent. Luke Brooks, 29. We just didn't have much opportunity, to be fair. They kept dropping the ball. So, but it doesn't get much easier for him because he goes up against the Panthers. So, yeah, shocking trade-in by me. Okay, on to the Dolphins, 30 points to 14 winners over the Titans. Again, neither of these games reached any great heights, and this one certainly didn't. The Dolphins overpowered the Titans in the forwards. Tino's a huge loss for them. So you're gonna find that quite a lot. They're probably, you know, short price favourites for the spoon. I think the only thing that's, you know, stopping people from absolutely loading up on them is the fact that they have Des Hasler there, and they believe that, you know, he's going to turn around. He's too good a coach, and he may well do that because they do have some talent there. But yeah, look, they look a long way off, you know, competing for a top eight spot. I mean, they're a definite bottom four side, but we'll see how it plays out. Fifita and Campbell looked good on return, but they were in need of a run there. Jermaine Jolliffe, so poor, what is this, Saturday morning, get a missed call from Timmy Williams. Hope he won't mind me sharing this, but anyway, I spoke to him later in the day. He rang me back and he was pondering who he was going to bring in the front row because he had Palacia. And he was like, okay, I'm tossing up between Jolliffe, Kerr and Flegler. And I said to him, oh, look, I think they're much of a match. Just like his theory is that front row forwards are sort of neither here nor there. Anyway, I did lean towards Kerr, but I said, like, he's probably the riskiest one minutes-wise. Sure enough, we get to the game and Flegler sets up a try. Jolliffe scores a try off a kick or something like that. And Kerr doesn't come onto the field because of, again, circumstantial, the Max Plath hip drop sin bin. So Kerr is a middle forward replacement, and they usually replace him with the lock, who's Plath. So he doesn't get onto the field to the second half, and I'm sitting there watching this, obviously, like, you know, feeling how bad I'm going at Supercoach, but then feeling bad because I think I've tipped Timmy Williams into a dud. But thankfully, Kerr got onto the field, and he played pretty well. He broke a few tackles, a couple of offloads, and then crashed over for that try, which was a saving grace. He ended up with 63, and same as Jolliffe, I think. So that was a push, and then obviously Flegler set up that try, and he got 80, and I think Flegler's a good option as well. But yeah, it's funny how that one played out. Dave Fifita, 57. Like I said, good sign. Same for Jaden Campbell, 48. Fermor 39, but with the Titans, I don't think you're thinking about getting any of them in. Probably the only one you're going to keep a close eye on is Dave Fifita. The Hammer, oh, man, 112. I'm going to talk about him a bit later. I think Timmy's got a question on him. Bostock, 84. Yeah, I missed him. He's a good cheapie. I mean, yeah, he might be cashing in on a soft run, but, like, he's getting some good ball off the Hammer, and yeah, he's going to make you a lot of money, so stick with him. Flegler, 80, like I said. What's exciting about Flegler is he's starting to run like AFB for the Warriors. He's running that sweep sort of out the back tight. They call it lead jockey up north here, but basically you have a block runner and then the player runs out the back. And they don't generally do it with front row forwards like AFB's, like the one who normally does it for the Warriors, but now Flegler's starting to do it, and he's got the ability to do it, like he showed with that offload try to the Hammer, that he can do it and he can do it effectively. So yeah, that's exciting for his scoring potential. I always wonder with Flegler, he's always, yeah, when if they go on a losing run, I'd just be a little bit wary of having him in my team because he can do something stupid and get himself suspended or sin bin or sent off. Jeremy Marshall King, 60. Yeah, like, that's solid. Happy with that. Okay, on to the Warriors. Good win for the Waz. Defeated the Knights 20 points to 12 over there in New Zealand. Top quality game. Like, it was seriously a top quality game. I mean, like, you look at the completions, and completions aren't always an indication of how good games are, but 88% completions to the Warriors, 86% to the Knights. And there was good physicality in it. you know, enough line breaks there to keep it exciting. Really good game to watch. You compare that to the Dragons Manly game, which was a stinker. It was like, actually, I'm surprised how high these are. They looked a lot worse. But Dragons were 73% and Manly were 69%. They must have picked up in the second half because the first half was atrocious. I think NRL was. I think the Knights make the top eight. I really do. They have a solid game plan, and I think they'll click into gear very soon. I think actually the Knights walk away from that game and go, yeah, we played pretty well here. So I don't think they'd be too down on themselves. They stayed in the game. They stayed in the grind, and there was a hint of them, if a few calls had gone their way and a few bounces of ball, they might have been in the chance to do a Melbourne on the Warriors, which would have been heartbreaking for the Warriors. But they sort of hung in the game, and the Warriors never really put them away. The Warriors aren't at full, like, they aren't at full throttle yet. They're not absolutely humming in their attack. They're sort of honing their defense, sort of in that Panthers mold, which isn't surprising because Webster comes from the Panthers system. But once they get their attack really going, they could really run up a score against some teams, the Warriors. The question mark for the Knights, and it does have some Supercoach implications, is does O'Brien persist with Gamble or bring in Will Price? I mean, when you look at it from a club standpoint, they brought Will Price to the club for a reason. I don't think it's to play reserve grade. Gamble's off contract. He's playing for a contract. He was offered a new contract but felt like he was worth more. I can understand why he's persisting with Gamble, because if you look at him, he's an absolute dog. Like, he fights over a bone. He, you know, tackles anything that moves. He's a rock-solid defender. But he's also restricted in what he can do in attack. Like, that's as simple as it is. He's not a bad attacker, but he's restricted in what he can do. So we'll see how that plays out. But if Will Price comes in at 5'8", they could really open up their attack, but they may have to give up a little bit in defence. I'm not sure how he defends in the front line coming from Super League. For the Warriors, Charles Nickel Klokstad back next week. A lot of chat around Roger staying at fullback, but I think it'd be great to have Nickel Klokstad back at fullback, Roger back out to the centres. You know, they can always swap over during the game, but, you know, just the positional play of Charles Nickel Klokstad's going to be big. Metcalf's going to be a big loss, so it'll be put a bit of pressure on Chanel Harris-DeVita, but they've got depth in that area. They've got Tamari Martin as well. He might come straight into the side, Tamari Martin. I'm not sure which way Webster will go with that, because obviously Chanel Harris-DeVita offers a great 14 that can play a lot of positions. Jackson Ford got 104 with that try. He's a pod. I mean, if you look at his scores, he's got 57, 66, 69, and 104. Pretty solid, and then he's got that attacking upside. Sean Johnson, 75. He's got the goal kicking back now for sure. You could pick him up cheap if you wanted to go in a different direction there. I mean, most people would have traded out Cleary already if they've done that. And if you haven't done that and you're holding him, you're probably just going to hold him until his next game. But if you were looking for someone, and I'm considering it, but it might be throwing good money after bad, but going Brooks to Sean Johnson with the hard run that Brooks has coming up. I don't know. I think Sean Johnson will score quite well. He's managing games. He's probably not running as much, but he ran a little bit more on the weekend. Capewell interests me a little bit. 71, he's running off SJ. It's good on that right-hand side, the way they set up their shape, being the front runner. The block runner there is really good. He is really fruitful in the past for players. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, 58. This might be before updates, so I think he may have updated a bit. He looked a heap better than 58, but yeah, like I say, I think he's probably going to go back to the centres, and he's a solid hold. If you haven't got him already, I don't know if he's a urgent trade in or anything like that, but yeah. Caelan Ponga, 117. He was dangerous off kick returns. The Warriors probably let themselves down a little bit on the kick returns. Still, yeah, like he's still yet to click with the attack of the Knights, but when he's playing like that, I think he still looked like he was struggling a little bit on the back of big efforts for fitness a little, like just a tiny bit. I'm like really nitpicking here, but I think he can get fitter and I think he can get better. And the goal kicking, he's kicking better than he ever has. So if you haven't got him in your side, you have to look to bring him in. I was happy with my trade out to Tedesco. I've made about 150K, I think it'll be after lockout on Tedesco. But in hindsight, and it's always easy to say in hindsight, I probably should have traded out Turbo instead of trading out Ponga. But I'm gonna flip Turbo to Ponga, and I think I'll be happy to. I mean, you know, there's always origin implications and whatnot, but I think that'll do me for the fullbacks. I think I've got to settle down, and I think I feel safe just settling with Ponga and Tedesco for the rest of the season at this stage. Kai Pierce-Paul, 65, he's another one that I've missed. Great pickup for owners. I was a bit worried about Dylan Lucas sniffing around, but yeah, he's hard to handle. He's only going to get better. So if you've got him, he's a solid hold. If you haven't got him at some stage, you might have to bring him in if he's starting to pump out scores like 60 plus.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, on to the next games. What a strange game this was. Sharks defeated the Raiders 36-22 after the Raiders led. They led by 18 points to nil after about 20 minutes. And then it got back to 18 all at half time. And, oh, you know, maybe similar to Manly, like I spoke about before, right back at the start, I was talking about how teams can't stay up, you know, in North Queensland a little bit. The Raiders have been up for 3 weeks and they looked up again for the first 20 minutes and then they just fell away. It was really, really strange. It's hard to get a read. I didn't think the Sharks were overly good, but they played with an intensity that you'd expect. Home ground advantage seems to be pretty huge this year. I think more so than ever, teams are really lifting when they're playing at home. So that's something to take into consideration. The Sharks are 3-1. And it's maybe the most unconvincing 3-1 of all time. I don't mean to be harsh on the Sharks because they've beaten good sides. But, yeah, I'm not sold on them at all. But we'll see. Like, I mean, they've definitely shifted from the type of side that they were in the past. Kale Iro, or Iro, as we used to call his dad and his uncle, I think. But, yeah, Kale Iro, 97. He was sitting on my pine. I seriously considered playing him. And you know, in the past, when you're having a good run with Supercoach, they're the type of calls you make. You know, you just throw in that player that, you know, speculative player and, you know, maybe play him over a Burbo and get an extra 50 or 60 points and it can make all the difference. But I didn't play him. He looked good. Hopefully he keeps his position because I've got him there as a cheapie. I think possibly he loses it back to Talakai when their back rowers come back. I think they might be missing Nakora. Yeah, I'm not sure what the situation is there, but I'd love to see him get a few more games. Mulitalo, he's been really good to start the season, 78. He's delivered again for owners, so well done to you if you've gone with him. You paid up for him, but he's definitely delivered. For the Raiders, Danny Levi, pretty sure he drops that ball. The bunker and the refs didn't have the best weekend, and that's going to happen, but from time to time, but it just seemed like it was in a clump. They had some pretty poor calls, but it looked like he dropped that ball. But I think what they're doing at the moment now is like they're playing him at full speed. And then we're seeing the slow-mo replay, and it's looking like a blatant drop. I think the Kale Iroh one looked like a bit of a drop as well, but they're playing him at full speed. And if they look like a try, they're giving him a try, which I actually don't mind. But yeah, Danny Levi just keeps scoring. He's actually playing pretty good footy, playing really tough in defence, 68 points for Supercoach. Xavier Savage, 60, scored a try, looked unreal. And then after that, he was terrible. He didn't get back on a ball for a kick. They scored a try off it, made some errors. Just probably the reasons that he got dropped for a whole season came out in the back half of that game. I think Ricky would have been absolutely steaming. Smoke coming out of his ears. Ethan Strange, 46. He continues to make money for owners, which is great. Morgan Smithies, 42. Horsburgh back. Might be the end of the Smithies run at Supercoach. I mean, he's not doing a great deal. His minutes are starting to get compromised. He looked great. And we've made a little bit of money on him. But at the end of the day, I think Morgan Smithies, your time might be up. Okay, let's go to the third question of the day from Timmy Williams.
Mate, question three. My boy, Hammer Time, Hamiso Tabuai Fido. Could he be a season-long keeper, do we think? Absolutely on fire this season, about to make a ton of money, another good matchup next week. Or do you think he'll be a player that you look to cash out when he peaks in price? Because we know that he probably does have a low game in him and a low score in him from time to time.
Ah, oh, Timmy, this one hurts me, mate. Look, let me take the listeners and yourself through a little bit of the pain and anguish that I've gone through this week. I was all set to bring in Hammer, and then during the week I was talking to the boys, yourself, Spy, Ads DeRussi, and Desi are all in the chat there. It's a great chat that we've got going. Plenty of good talk goes in there. And I said, okay, look, I'm bringing in Dom Young, I'm bringing in Hammer and someone else. And then Desi basically talked me out of it. At the end of the day, it was my decision. And these are some of the things that you'll learn from Supercoach. But he said to me, look, he might score well this week or maybe next week, but I don't think he's a long-term play. So I ended up not going with Hammer, so which was hard to watch, and obviously with the round that I've had, that really, really hurt. I also got talked into earlier in the year, got talked in by you boys and got into Tamalolo over Flegler. Now, that was one of the worst things ever, but I'm going to go back and like give you some perspective here, because 2019, the year that Desi and I went so well, was it 2019? I don't know. It might have been the year after. And I ended up going pretty well the year after, I think it was, 2020 or 2021. But I didn't have Cook to start the year, and he had a really good start to the year, and you boys talked me into that as well. So I can work both ways. But I think for the rest of the year, I'm just going to go with my gut feel on things, because both of those ones, it's hard because you speak to people that you respect, and if you're in a lot of communities, there's a lot of chat, and you can second guess yourself, and that's why you try and cut out a fair bit of the noise. And hopefully, like the listeners out there, I mean, hopefully you're having a decent season. You're listening to the rap from me, and you're not taking on too much of the decisions that I'm making, because I'm not going well at all. But yeah, I mean, you've got to back your gut. You've got to back what you're seeing on the field and what you think's going to happen. Don't spend your whole season going with someone, who someone else picked. But anyway, back to what you asked is, I traded Nico to Brooks. Didn't even think about the Panthers and the Warriors. I think Hammer is a short-term play, and then I think maybe his struggle to keep his cash when the Dolphins come to the tougher part of the draw. Sorry, I got a bit scattered there, Timmy. But yeah, I think that's it. Sums it up. Hammer is a short-term play, and he may struggle to keep his cash when the Dolphins hit that tougher part of the draw. But enjoy the price rise if you can get out of him, get in and get out, and work well. Okay, going on to the game today, before we have a bit of a look at Jay Schubert's price rises and break evens, Tigers versus Eels, a really good game. I thought it was 17 points to 16. The Tigers got the win. Aiden Caesar playing some great footy, snapped a field goal there. Tigers were gutsy in defense. The Eels struggled for polish without Moses. That was really evident. So one thing that you did see is Gutho's going to get an increased role there, which could make him a bit of a pod. Okay, on the run here, but let's have a look at a few of the scores from today. So for the Eels, 107 for Gutho. Yeah, that's what I was talking about, just looking like a bit of a pod option there. Gets the goal kicking. Also, he's just got an increased role in everything that they're doing there. Sean Lane, 60. That's solid. Mike Acevo, 50. Didn't do much other than the try. Dylan Brown, 46. He did enough, but you're probably wanting a breakout game for him. I don't know if he's going to get that at halfback. I was actually thinking, you know, with the way Galvin was going, it could be a position that you forego that marquee player and just go with Galvin and Strange there and play Galvin. I mean, he got 62 with a sin bin, but I'd say he's going to be in a bit of doubt with that hip drop. It was probably one of the worst ones that I've seen, or, you know, it wasn't great. So he's probably going to get 1 or 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, which is a shame for the kid, but it was a bad hip drop and they need to get that out of the game. For the Eels, was there anyone else? Oh, Joey Lussick, 30. Yeah, it's time to sell him. For the Tigers, Justin Olam, he's pumped out another big score there. So he's in for a price rise. Let's just have a look. He started at 423,000 and this is his second game. So he got an 84 in the first game. And he's posted a 74 here. So he's going to rise a bit. He might be a player that you want to bring in for a short-term rise. I don't know if it's sustainable with Olam, but he could go on a bit of a run. Udo Ikamani was really good today, 61. Samuel Afino, he's in everything, that lad. He is in everything. I'm really glad I picked him up. I think he's going to earn a lot of money. I'm going to stick with him for a fair while. And he's a sneaky play because Benji Marshall rates him. And, yeah, like he just follows the ball. He gets offloads. That 53, that could update easily to 60. Not too much else. So obviously, Coruscant, 44. I think that's about base for him. He was a little bit unlucky today in the fact that the referee who ref the game was fairly lenient, I thought, around the ruck. He let both teams line them, didn't call a lot of six to goes, particularly early in the game when there was a lot of holding down and spoiling of the ruck. And if they had a different referee and it was a bit more policed around there, then I reckon he would have had a better game. Blaze Talungi is one that I've gone over there. He's almost a must-have trade in. He's 204,300, scored 67 on debut, and then backed it up with 42. He looks like a clone of Dylan Brown, so he's going to run a lot. He's going to get those base stats if he can keep his position. There might be some pressure there from Deja and Arcee coming through, but, yeah, I think Blaze Talungi will be brought in by a lot of sides this week. Okay, just to finish off the weekly wrap, we have, courtesy of Jay Schubert, you can find him on Twitter or X, and he's got some great stuff there. He's real quick on the break-evens and price changes, which is really handy for those mad super coaches. So he's come up with a list of the biggest price drops, which, Tom Trbojevic is in there. He's going to drop 36,000. He's going to have a break even of 85. Latrell Mitchell dropping 38,000 with a break even of 112. So there's a couple there that you probably got to make a bit of a decision on. Having a look at the flip side of it, some of the players who are going to have the biggest price rises and pretty solid BEs moving forward. So if you look at the second row forwards, you got Josh Kerr, who's dual, projected break even of 21, price change of around, he's going to go up about 72,000. So Timmy would be very happy with that trade in now. Jackson Ford, set to rise about 61,000 with a projected break even of 14, and Kai Pierce-Paul projected break even of -3, and he rises about 54,000. So there's some good price rises there for the second rowers. Danny Levi with the try, looking at hookers now, he's going to go up around about 50,000, 48,900 we've got here. And he'll have a break even of -3. Many people sold him, but for those people who hung on to him, you're going to be rewarded there. And the next one is Reed Marnie. He's going up 34,000 with a projected break even of 15. Having a look here at the 5'8s, Ethan Strange, he's going to go up 48,000 with a break even of 20. Max Plath, unfortunately, he's going to be suspended, but he'll go up 39,300 with a break even of 13. Kyle Flanagan, he surprises. He'll have a going into next week, he's going to have a -6 break even, and he's gone up 31,400. Okay, looking at the front rowers, I spoke about Kerr before. His teammate Flegler's up there with him, a projected break even of 32, and he's going to go up 60,200 in cash. Liam Henry, he's going to go in with a -7 break even, and he's risen almost 50,000, so 49,700. Terrell May gets a big rise around the 45,000 as well. And then you've got some of the outside backs, it looks like. Yep. So center wings and fullbacks, the biggest rise, and this hurts to say this, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, 96,800. He's going to go up in price, and a break-even moving forward of 6. I think if you didn't get on him this week like me, then I think you're probably not going to buy him now. Jack Bostock, his teammate, he's going to have a break-even of -37. So he's a player you could jump on, even though he's going up 94,200. And then you've got Dylan Edwards, who's going to rise 75,000, and his teammates Taruva and Tago around 67,200 for Taruva and just under 60,000 for Tago. So give you a bit of the information if you can't wait for lockout, which will be coming tomorrow. Thank you for listening to the SC Playbook Weekly Wrap. We'll catch you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.